going to say, well, the challenge now, I've got to keep Jeff awake. Right, well, Piers has been slipping in caffeine pills, Pro Plus all week. Right, Peter, I'm going to ask two favours of you this morning. The first one is, would you mind finding me a HDMI cable to just plug that into? The second one is a bit weirder. So, yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, when you've got probably more than half, the people here now this morning that have been getting incredible equipping all week, to then come on a Sunday morning celebration, and, you know, which is supposed to, we talk about the Sunday morning celebration as like the cherry on the icing on the cake, and I'm not sure what I've got this morning is the cherry, you know? Yeah, exactly. Even more, no, not even harder, it'll help you grow even more. Got to learn it. Well, okay, fair enough. There's a stretch goal for you. Thanks, Peter. I thought it was quite simple, quite fairly simple now, because Peter has been working hard on getting us all sorted at the front here. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. So round of applause for Peter, even in all his endeavours, and Sarah for that matter, because I dare say she did some of the searching.
Brilliant. Right.
Okay, well, this is a new trial. I'm going to try the... We're going for the phone, right. Right, well, look at that. Right, it happened immediately. Right, okay. Let's pray. Father, as it's just been said, Lord Jesus, Lord, every time we share your word, Lord Jesus, Lord, we just want, Lord, you to fill our mouths, Lord Jesus, with what that word you have for this moment, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we want those seeds to come from us that plant in the fertile soil of our hearts. And Lord, it's my task, Lord, to bring good seed, Lord, but it's all of our task, Lord, to prepare our hearts to be fertile and receive that seed. So, Lord, we just pray for that this morning. Holy Spirit, work in us and through us, and just be with us, Lord, as we just share and just have life together this morning. No, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, I've actually lost my iPad. There it is. Right, so... Last week, for those of us, I think most of us were here last week. Does anyone remember what we were looking at? Dad was taking us through space. You weren't here. Okay, so we had a journey, basically. We're on space again this week. And basically what I've got here is what, which is not working. Hang on a sec. Seems to have crashed. Okay. So what we have here is what I think. So Dad showed us a picture of us going from the sun at the speed of light backwards, as if we were looking out the back of a spaceship. So I thought, well, that was pretty, which I loved and was awesome. I could have watched for hours, but I thought, I wonder if there's a different view of that. And I reckon this is what you were riding at the speed of light, going backwards from the sun. There you go. That's just a little insight into my workings of my mind, basically. So that goes, that just goes on and goes on and goes on. Right. This morning, coming back to what Dad was sharing with us, he was looking at Romans 8, and there was a bit that struck me, actually, that I wanted to get a bit more in depth with, and kind of talk about a bit more this morning. And it was right at the end of Romans 8. So I'm going to look specifically at Romans 8, 33 to 39. So who will bring a charge against God's chosen people? Certainly not God. He is the one who causes them to be considered righteous. Who punishes them? Certainly not the Messiah Jesus, who died and more than that has been raised, is at the right hand of God and is actually pleading on our behalf. Who will separate us from the love of the Messiah? Trouble, hardship, persecution, hunger, poverty, danger, war? As the law puts it, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are super conquerors through the one who has loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers, neither what exists nor what is coming, neither powers above nor powers below, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which comes to us through the Messiah Jesus, our Lord. Woo! It's quite a closing statement at the end of Romans 8 there, isn't it? Absolutely incredible, and it blows me away. So this morning I've got a really simple message for you, which I'm going to overcomplicate. No, this morning I've got a really simple message for you. And I think, you know, Paul puts it perfectly at the end of Romans 8 there, but I just think there's so much in there that sometimes we kind of need to just break it down. So the word that really struck me in amongst that was super conquerors. Now, in NIV, it says more than conquerors, but super conquerors is the literal translation of what it says. And I'm going to try and pronounce the Hebrew because I haven't learnt Hebrew. I'm just going to sort of have a go. So it looks like hupernikau. So super conquerors, the Hebrew word there, the Greek word there, and that Paul's using is hupernikau. Yeah, sorry, it's Greek, not Hebrew. Sorry, that was it's definitely not Welsh. That does sound a bit, doesn't it? If it's Welsh, it'd be twice as long. Oh, okay, cool. Hupernikau, but not hupotasso. No, okay, cool. Hupernikau. Well, you know, Paul says it better than anyone else, I think. So, so hupernikau, super conquerors. And I was like, that sounds sort of a bit extreme, Paul. I mean, Paul's a pretty level-headed guy and he doesn't mess around and he's not like me. He's not one for flowery language and kind of really, over embellishing things. Paul is one for being very direct and very, very to the point. So hupernikau, super conquerors, sounds a bit un-Paul-like. So I was like, so what does a super conqueror look like? And so if I can just find... So I reckon super conquerors look something like these guys, or maybe like this guy here. These classic superhero kind of images we have. Super conquerors. Superman here flying along. You know, I reckon super conquerors look something like these guys. Look powerful. They look like they can take on anyone. They look threatening. I mean, Captain America's pretty awesome. This guy here. I reckon super conquerors look a bit like this. So is Paul saying that we're superheroes? Is when he's talking about what Jesus has done for us, is he saying now we're superheroes? And if Paul is saying now we're superheroes, how do I wield this new all-conquering power? How do I overcome all these things? Surely now, if knowing all these things, we are super conquerors through the one who has loved us. In all these things, surely nothing can get in my way. So, what power is it that we're walking in here, that Paul's talking about here? What is this super conqueror power that he's talking about? We all have kind of foundations and things in our lives that we kind of say that we can kind of walk in confidence in. Some of us feel more intelligent than others. Some of us feel we're stronger than other people. Some of us feel like, we're more caring than other people, more loving. There's always things in us that we think, yeah, I'm okay at that. I mean, okay, there's a whole string of stuff that we know we're not very good at. But there's got to be something for us to walk out in the street or walk out in life and sort of not be like this whimpering worm. There has to be stuff in us that we think, yeah, is okay. You know, I may not be the best looking guy around, mate, but, I'm sort of not scary looking either. You know, things that we kind of have as these kind of foundations in us that we can kind of lean on. These are the things that we call on when we need to overcome things. These are the things that we rely on when we're faced with troubles. These are the things that we tend to lean on when we're faced with the tough stuff in life. So is Paul now saying that through those things we can overcome anything? Through your strength and through your intelligence and through what we can do, we can overcome anything. And does anybody ever feel like the world happens to them and that actually sometimes we don't have what it takes to overcome those things? You know, I know I do. Sometimes it's really easy to believe the world is against you. It's really easy to believe that you're a victim of your circumstances and that, I can't do that because I was brought up like X or Y. I won't be able to overcome that because I'm not intelligent enough. I'm strong, but I'm not intelligent, so that's not for me. I think when we start to rely on those things of our own strength and our own skill and our own ability, that's what it leads us to. It leads us to feeling like there's things that we won't be able to do or overcome. There's things that God can't do with us. We'll look at that again in a bit more detail in a second. But I think what we do when we start thinking like that is we start to rely on who we are. And I've got some pictures here of what I think happens when we start to rely on ourselves to be the answer. So these are a few guys that have dressed up as superheroes that maybe haven't worked quite as well as they expected them to. There's an interesting Batman there in duct tape. There's a very interesting Batman there. This guy here, I especially love the six pack he's drawn on his keg. It's an Iron Man one there and a Captain America, I think. Yep, He-Man. Wolverine there. And then, finally we've got another Iron Man there, right? I love the way he's got just one of these. He couldn't even make two. And the rosette things on his hands as the power things. But I think we try and rely on ourselves, on our own strength and our own understanding. And what we end up looking like is these superhero costume fails. You know, we end up trying to do it all on our own and we end up looking a bit silly half the time. So coming back to what Paul's saying then. So if I am a super conqueror, we are super conquerors. then how comes when I try and be a super conqueror in my own strength, I end up looking like the guy that's drawn a six-pack on himself? Not the, you know, not, I don't end up looking like Captain America or whatever. It's because we forget the second part of this. In all these things, we are super conquerors through the one who has loved us. So if you ever do feel like that life is too much of a challenge and you will only ever get by, remember this. Jesus has bought your shortcomings. Jesus has bought out your past, present and future. Jesus has bought out your weakness and your blindness. He told Isaiah, do you remember a couple of weeks ago we looked at Isaiah when he said, I am a man of unclean lips. And the angel brought the coal, touched his lips. And it's the exact word it said is, I have covered your sin. Jesus has covered your shortcomings. So the simple truth is that Jesus died to cover all our sin and failure. He made us right. And to all, in order to receive that, we have to die to our self-reliance and accept it. Our lives become reliant on his death. Our superpower is essentially trust. Everything else Jesus has done. Even Abraham, it says in Romans 4, says, for what does the law say? Abraham put his trust in God and it was credited to his account as righteousness. So in Romans here it's saying, Jesus died on that cross, made that sacrifice, paid that price. So that we could overcome every struggle in life. Not because of what is in us and what not because of what we are and what we can do, but because of the power of the cross in us. The only thing that Jesus' death on the cross can't do, that can't force upon us, is his death, the only thing that he can't force upon us is for us to trust him. Jesus' death did everything. He said, it is finished. That price was paid in full. The only thing it can't do in us is force us to trust him. Force us to trust that simple truth. So it sounds simple. The Bible talks a lot about trust and belief. So how do we wield that trust? How do we go about trusting? Because in the past, I've always felt that believing is about just really, really believing hard. It's almost like using the force or using kind of mind powers, where if you just believe hard enough, things will happen. But I think trust and belief and faith, because they're all kind of tied up together, I think in wielding trust is about a simple decision. So we have to decide today that something is true. We have to decide today that Jesus paid the price for my shortcomings, my failure, my weakness. And that simple decision leads to action. I'm going to give you an analogy here. Peter, I told you I was going to ask you for another favour. Would you mind coming up and to the front with me here? Thank you very much. stand here. I'm just going to have a quick look at you. Right, we all know that Peter has diabetes that he has to, you know, control and keep on top of. So, Peter, I think that your diabetes is type Z diabetes, and I think from now on, rather than using your diabetes treating machine thing, that you should just get into bog snorkeling, and I think you should only eat Haribo, and I think that actually if you shaved your head and wore alligator boots all the time, that would sort out your diabetes type Z. Might work, yes. Who trusts what I'm saying? No. Well, that's a good test there. Then there's no one so gullible in the room that they would take my advice on the medical conditions. Right. So, if Peter came into me and I was a qualified doctor, and Peter has been to qualified doctors, I presume, and he hasn't diagnosed himself or let Nathan diagnose him or whatever. So, Peter, you've been to doctors?
Yeah.
Correct, yes. And you've been diagnosed with diabetes. And when you've been diagnosed with it, the doctor has then advised you on what course of action to take. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you take that course of action to manage your diabetes.
It didn't.
No, it didn't. So, recently, your doctor has advised you to have the insulin kind of machine thing pump. Yes, I'll call it installed, so that and that will manage your diabetes better. Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, and you took that advice, and you're walking in that advice, and that affects your day to day. Right. Brilliant. Round of applause for Peter because he's now fulfilled his purpose.
Research on my own rather than just following one guy.
Right. Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much, Peter. Right. So the difference is here is that Peter's not going to take my advice about his medical condition because he can't trust me for that because I'm not trustworthy. My advice is not trustworthy in that. And even if I given semi-reasonable advice, even if I'd been on the internet and said, well, actually, Peter, what you need to do is, you know, insulin, etc., etc., he's not going to trust my advice. He shouldn't trust my advice. The doctor, on the other hand, is someone he can trust and that he puts his trust in. And quite rightly. Obviously, to a degree, there are some mad doctors as well. So when we're thinking about how we trust God, our trust in somebody leads to obedience. So when we trust the doctor and he gives us advice on what we should do, we obey and we carry it out. I mean, I know we're not always terribly good at it, but you know, there's that. That trust in him leads to our obedience. And it's the same with God. When we trust in God, it's not about us believing he's real, because he's real whether we like it or not. It's not us about us believing really hard that he's going to do something. It's about that trust in who he is leading to an obedient heart so that we carry out and we walk in what he has for us. We walk in his word. We walk in his kingdom. We walk the way he walked. So trust is the first step of obedience. It starts with a decision. This is true. What Jesus has done for me is right and true and real and for me. And I'm going to trust in that and trust in him. We submit our own ideas, thoughts, insecurities, unbelief, choices, action to his. Just like the doctor, I don't go to a doctor, get a diagnosis and information about what I should do, a remedy from him, and then go off and do my own mad thing. You know, that's not how it works. You have to trust that the doctor is giving you the good advice. Then you go and you carry out that treatment. There's a kind of dying of ourselves and our own opinions that has to happen for us to receive his truth into us. So I want to say to you this morning, we've got to let his truth replace our opinion. And I think Sue said this morning, no what ifs. And that's spot on. That is trust. Trust is putting to death those what ifs in us. Putting to death those, oh yes, but I'm not like, you know, that's not who I can't. Putting to death those things in us. Letting his truth replace our opinion. We have no power but through him. But through him we have all the power in the universe. We are not conquerors, but through him we can conquer everything. We are super conquerors. A simple truth that has incredibly powerful consequences if we can accept it in its fullness. He wants us to be reborn in that way into super conquerors. So finally, we've got to walk in it. If you wish you could be closer to him, if you wish you could please him, I wish I was good enough. I wish that I wasn't so much of a failure. I wish I didn't sin. I wish that I could walk in favor with him. I wish. Stop the endless questioning. We've got to stop it. I know Jubilee. Okay, right. Another half hour. We're going to have a half hour interlude to talk about the place of questions. When it comes to the Father, we got to stop that question. And again, Sue said it this morning. It's not a case of, you know, why God or what if this or what if that. It's just, yes, here I am, send me. We've got to stop questioning whether we're good enough. We've got to stop questioning whether he has died for us, whether our sin is covered over. We've got to stop questioning in ourselves whether we are up to it. Because through him we are super conquerors. We've got to stand up and trust. Not because of what we have achieved and because of our good deeds, but because our dad has done it. We've got to walk that out day to day. We've got to take up the battle with our own minds. We've got to take up that battle with our unbelief. So how much do we dare to believe this morning? How much do we dare to believe that those thoughts that question what Jesus has done for us and is doing in us, How much we dare to believe that they are lies. And that's the place, that is where we become super conquerors. Trouble, hardship, persecution, hunger, poverty, danger, war. Conquered through the one that has loved us. Hopelessness, problems, depression, super conquerors through the one that has loved us. And the big shift in that is it doesn't rely on us. Doesn't rely on us. We haven't got to be good enough. We aren't good enough. We've just got to trust that he is. Suspend our belief in ourselves and just trust in him. So are you willing to risk all your self-reliance and pride and trust it all in this incredible news this morning? Are we willing to accept that simple truth? He has done it. He has won. His truth is bigger than my opinion. Let's pray. Father, the simplest truths are often the hardest for us to grasp. And Lord Jesus, this is one of those truths, Lord Jesus, that just impacts every area of our lives. And Lord Jesus, holds us back or releases us. Lord Jesus, it feels strange and unnatural to, Lord Jesus, to grasp everything you have for us and to accept that what you say is true, that you have done it, your sacrifice is sufficient even for us. And that through that sacrifice, we are conquerors of death, of trouble, of poverty, of hunger, of war. But Lord Jesus, we want to receive that word this morning, and we want to make that first step decision this morning that we will trust what you say, Lord, more than our own opinion. Lord, let that seed flourish in our hearts, and Lord Jesus, lead to an incredible transformation in us this morning. And Lord Jesus, let us stand up and trust, Lord Jesus. Let us stand up and trust, sons and daughters of the kingdom. And Lord Jesus, let you work and transform this nation through that, Lord Jesus. We believe this morning, Lord, help us in our unbelief. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice and that price you paid. Amen.